The Survivor Specialists, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are predicting Episode 7 of Survivor 50, Power Rankings on Easter Sunday. Blake filling in for any guests that I possibly could have gotten, especially as I was driving across the country. I'm now in Arizona, in case you can't tell. This isn't my normal background. Hopefully everything's well, but Blake's coming in here. This is Blood Moon 2, Electric Boogaloo. If anybody was going to be called the Blood Moon, it's Blake, because he's here to ruin all of your favorite things. So, Blake, what's up, buddy?
Bad week to be a Blake hater. Three straight podcasts with my dumb face on it. Yeah, we got to figure out. There's better pictures of me that you could use for thumbnails. Thank you, Mo. That's glad you have my back, even if it was an hour and a half ago. No, I don't know if I'm excited or if I'm more like, what is going to happen the next couple weeks? And it is like, next episode has to set the tone. So it's like, I separated my 14 contestants in like, who could possibly go next week? Who's definitely not going to go next week? And then if there is something like five people win immunity and there's three idols played, like the people in the 6 through 8 slots are got to watch out.
Yeah, my biggest concern, and I have not seen previews. I was in Atlanta on, what's today? Today's Sunday. I was on Atlanta on Friday morning. I'm in Arizona now. So I've been sitting in a car, and I get motion sick if I'm in the passenger seat. So I pretty much drove the whole thing while my wife just sat there. And she wasn't looking up anything about Survivor. So I don't know what we're in store for here. Are we going to get two groups of seven? Like, God forbid we have a 14 person tribal council, right? Like, are we going to have a 14 person tribal council? Are we getting two groups of seven? I know there's a reward. It seems like they split into two groups for the reward based on the press release. And then they're going to, they're going to do a vote, or they're going to do an immunity challenge, something like that. Are we going to get a 14 person tribal council with 13 people eligible to be going home? Cause that's what I want. Is that going to happen? Do we know?
I feel like one way we could think about this is they kind of do Survivor seasons back to back in the same thought process. And Nate went home at 12, where there was 11 people not eligible, or what is it? Not immune. So I think there could be something for this where it's like, we have a guy's immunity and we have a girl's immunity. And then like whoever's left is toast, but also we can't just do single eliminations for the rest of the time. And also we still have two celebrities that are just looming in the background of, I don't think we're going to get through the next episode. What? Well, wouldn't they advertise it? It's like, I don't think so after the backlash of a certain,
I think they would. I don't think they care.
So I'm assuming we're going to see if Mr. Beast is the auction. The auction is usually maybe two or three episodes from now. So the missing piece is Jimmy Fallon. And is Jimmy Fallon coming this episode or not? I think is what I would be interested in if I could get one question answered.
So here's Braden Sanning, 3604. I think the groups of seven are just reward, and then that winning team gets to fight for immunity, then 14-person tribal. I'm fine with that. I still like to see just 14 people battle it out for immunity, but I'm fine with that twist. That's not bad, in my opinion. I'll take that. I just want a 14-person tribal where we're getting a normal vote. Everybody without a vote is now out of the game, by the way, Colby and Q. I'm sure that they'll find a way where it's like, oh, actually, you guys didn't win immunity. You get to go to tribal but not vote. But I feel like that is good. What I'm really surprised at coming into this episode, for anybody who suffered yesterday the way I suffered, watching Illinois pretend to play basketball and Arizona forget that basketball was a sport, it's Final Four, right? CBS hosts the Final Four. So the Final Four was on yesterday. That's one of the biggest sporting event days of the year. It's not Super Bowl level, but it's big. One of the biggest sporting event days of the year. Now, the championship game is tomorrow night. I'm surprised that Mr. Beast or Jimmy Fallon didn't tie in with that, because that would be when you're getting a lot of eyes on your show or on your network when it's not NFL season. So I would have thought that they would probably almost want to line that up so that it would hit on this type of weekend. Now, I know they still have the Masters coming up and different things like that where they can promote. but this is Easter weekend and it's the Final Four weekend. Families are sitting at home. You're going to get kids who are sitting there going, oh my God, Mr. Beast. And if that's kind of the point of Mr. Beast's appearance. And so if dad's sitting on the couch miserable because the whole family's together watching the Final Four, sweating bets, and the kid's just sitting there and goes, look, Mr. Beast, maybe they're going to watch Survivor on Wednesday night. I'm not saying that I was miserable sitting on the couch drinking beer, sweating bets yesterday, but that's kind of what Saturday night was. Anyway, Blake, do you hear what I'm saying, though? Does this make sense?
They would have advertised these Jimmy Fallons. I mean, that's the weirdest one to me is Jimmy Fallon is literally a NBC lifer. Like, why would we advertise him on CBS?
True.
And that's kind of a, well, we have a relationship where Jeff goes onto that show. Like, let's try not to think of networks as tribal as it would be on Survivor, but it's like, okay, like I don't think that would be the one celebrity they wouldn't advertise because it's like Jimmy Fallon, and you're like, oh, that must be on NBC then because he's been on Saturday Night Live and his talk show is on that season for 10 years on that whatever I'm trying to say network for 10 years. Yeah, I do think that would be something where why would we not advertise this stuff to the Final Four people? So what was the CBS Wednesday on the most monumental challenge? What did they lead with in that?
I didn't see anything. Single?
That's crazy.
And I will say I was watching the second half, or I was watching the second game through a window while eating dinner, and then it was over by halftime. So I didn't really pay attention, but during the first game, there was nothing. There were no ads for Survivor. I mean, cause my ears always perk up whenever there's a Survivor ad, because I am paying attention and wanting to see. And I know that I'll say this, we're 7 minutes in now. For anybody who's playing in our prop bet game, I've scored some of last week's prop bet, but I have to rewatch the episode to figure out who got their mouth blurred and all these who said idol other than the three people with idols. So I didn't do that yet. I am going to put questions up today because I just feel like it's fairer to do that. Podcast isn't going to be till really late on Tuesday night because I'm flying back from Arizona, but it will be with Peridium. So Peridium and I will be live there. I can go back and fix the scores as long as I need to. I'm probably going to be fixing them on Tuesday on the plane. So that's just, I just want to let everybody know that. But the point is I've been trying to wait a little bit on putting the questions up because then I'll put up who's going to be shown in water. And then what ends up happening the next day, CBS releases this week on Survivor and there's Jonathan diving into the ocean and you're like, oh, okay. So I've been trying to wait. And yesterday during the Final Four, I didn't see anything. And I don't know if maybe I wasn't looking hard enough, but I didn't see anything yesterday. So I am a little surprised.
And I'm going to surprise you. On Friday night, I went and watched the women's Final Four because the Texas Longhorns were in there.
How'd they and do? They looked pretty good, huh?
They were straight ass. It was so interesting how bad they were at basketball. They literally beat other teams by 25, and then won the first quarter. They scored 6 points, and I was like, "This can't be real!" Like
dude, four Final Four games this weekend. Every one of them was atrocious. Every one of them was.
Did y'all
awful.
Forget? Like, is Arizona super? Does it mess
Blood
with
moon,
y'all?
Maybe
I don't
Blood
know.
Moon.
Maybe they were so embarrassed or so sad from Survivor that they were like, "I don't want to." Play
you know what
well
would have made those weekend. Games better though? If you score less than 7 points in the first quarter, you get the Billie Eilish boomerang basket, which gives you 10 points oh from God. The other team's score. This way it just offsets skill and makes it more about luck. Yeah.
But yeah, I went to a bar and I also didn't see any CBS this week on Survivor. It gets more crazy than ever. But I did watch the next time on Survivor. Coming. And maybe you didn't hear it, but I think the big thing is it's time for D to yell at Jonathan. Why did you vote out Camilla? And it's yep. going to be a major, like, is that going to put bullet? Is that going to put targets on people? Is it going to load the bullets of we weren't going to get you guys out anytime soon, but now we have to because we can't trust you. I think that'll be a large part of the storyline.
Yeah, so let's recap. We're 10 minutes in. Let's recap where everybody's at coming into this episode, because this is officially the merge. Last week was not the merge. And Colby and Genevieve, you don't go to the merge and then have two people in their exit press saying, as soon as I drew that rock, I knew I was done. That's not how the merge works. So this is going to be the merge. We don't know if we're getting two tribals of seven. We don't know if we're just getting one tribal of 14. But let's talk about where everybody stands coming into this week, just to give a little bit of a breakdown. Because I know that, look, I listened to yours and Will's entire recap. That was the best 2 hours of my drive. The two of you killed it. I was dying. You know I don't compliment either of you because that's just, you know, compliments aren't great. You know, I don't want you guys to get complacent and think you're doing a good job and then stop showing up on time. But that podcast was so funny. And then I saw a couple comments that were essentially like, okay, we get it. My mother-in-law was actually one of those comments. He was like, wow, 20 minutes of that. And I was like, yeah, 20 minutes of that. But anyway, it's, I feel like let's recap everybody's app because that podcast was a lot of Survivor wasn't played. What's going on? We don't like this twist. And then when we were on with Bryce, we talked to Bryce and it was a lot of what's up with the Blood Moon. And how do you feel about the people who went home? Let's talk about the Ron Clark event. Let's do all this. So let's go through everybody because we're going to do power rankings and we're going to do that. But there's nothing I like more than wasting Blake's time. So Blake, let's go through all 14 of these and talk about where they stand, because I think it is important because I think people have lost the plot a little bit after last week. And you want to talk about Dee and Jonathan. It seems like that's kind of what's been on your mind since you saw the preview. So let's start with Dee and Jonathan. Dee can be mad at Jonathan, but who is Dee's alliance right now with Camilla gone, and where does she stand? Oh my God, he's got a note card.
I put three groups of alliances. So maybe this is cutting off what you were thinking, but I saw this on Reddit. I felt this in my heart. I saw this on the show. We have kind of three factions right now. And I think there's maybe some that are like, I'm part of both in a certain way. And there's some people that are, nope, I'm solely on one. So where there's 14 people, I have two fives and a four of five people in one group, five people in another, and then four. Maybe one of these people could be like, no, I'm a floater. But we have the Suri faction of Suri and her family. So we have Suri is married to Rizzo and is also married to Ozzy or whatever. And we are going to inform both of those guys. And I don't think they're going to be too mad. I think when Rizzo and Ozzy come back in, they're going to be like, we lost Colby. Okay. His foot was going to be messed up. And then we lost Camilla. Oh, they're going to be mad about Camilla maybe. So they'll be incensed about that. But then losing Genevieve. Okay. Maybe they're going to be, okay, it's time. We got to go to work. I'm adding D to that because it seems like Suri and D are working together, or maybe that is the like blind spot she has. But I think for final 14, they will vote together. And then Tiffany is mad and is telling D the problem. So I think Tiffany and D will vote together. So I have that in not a trio of five. That was about to be the weirdest thing I ever said. A trio of five, including Suri, Rizzo, Ozzy, D, and Tiffany. And then
Let's talk about that before you go on. I like where your head's at on this one. I think Rizzo is probably the floater in that alliance. I feel like Ozzy and Suri are locked. That's a lock. Tiffany and D, that's a lock. Aubrey's probably in that though, no?
I was going to say Aubrey has got into the group of nerd group. Of locked in the people who voted out Genevieve, and they have Emily with them. So Emily, Christian, Aubrey, and Rick, I think are diehards together. But because I know Emily and Ozzy are working together, so that's one where it's like, where would Emily go? But I think you only have 10 minutes to talk. Go! I think Emily, Christian, Aubrey, and Rick would all get together in a group, whether they have a fifth, sixth, or seventh person as well. Who knows?
Now, speaking on that one, I think that Rick, Christian, and Emily are locked in. That's a group of three. They still have the connection with Suri and Ozzy. So that could still happen because they were on the original tribe together. So those five could still get together at some point. I think Aubrey makes sense there, but if the numbers aren't there, Aubrey has a very clear connection to the other side. And I do feel like Aubrey's story so far this season has been, I need to vanquish Genevieve. She didn't, but Genevieve is gone. It was a 4-0 vote. I don't feel like Aubrey got the better of that, but Aubrey's still around. And her other story is Tiffany's willing to work with me. So I think Aubrey would probably, she's she's in the middle. Like if you were to do this as like a, here's your group, here's your, like your staunch group. And then it was like in the middle would be Rizzo on the top and in the middle on the bottom would be Aubrey. I think that it would be, you know, it definitely Ozzy, Sari. They have a connection to Christian and Devins, but it's not as strong as I think what it is with Tiff and with D. Oh, maybe Tiff and D, where are we? Oh, because they voted out. Yes, because of the vote against Charlie. So that does make sense.
So the other layer of this that I'm going to agree with some people in chat is like Emily and D are on the same season. They're together, but maybe different factions. Tiffany and Aubrey are together from this season. And so there's something. But Ozzy does not like Christian. So that is a, why wouldn't you just put this five and this four together? And this is the dominant nine headed into 14. I think there is some headstrong personalities where they're like, oh, you want to work with that? And like, I think there's no time to strike like the now of, can I go after someone from that side, eliminate the person I don't like, and then nobody's kind of mad, and then let's get together as eight after we get rid of the biggest threat of our group. Like, that could be a winning play at Final 14, but it all could also be a devastating play if you don't smooth it out the right way. But because of those people, that means the last five people are Jonathan, Steph, Chrissy, Joe, and Coach.
That's a lock.
I think we can say this is the old school group, old school based on gameplay, not because we're adding Jonathan to that. But Jonathan made a vote with Steph and Chrissy, and I think it'll lock them into that. And also Jonathan, Coach, and Joe all looked at each other with Colby and was like, I'm so glad I get to play with you guys. And this, I feel like when you're saying a lock, it's more set in stone. It's more, why would we jump around? None of these people have idols. Mm-mm. None of these people have extra votes. Are they a sitting duck? Or because if the other nine can work together flawlessly, I feel like they're sitting ducks. But I think the chance that they have is these five people, instead of being on one side, if the nine other people have any infighting or like, let's use the people in the middle to go for votes, I think that'll be the very interesting gameplay of an all-star season that hopefully happens moving forward so we can salvage some of the season of like, yes, I don't really like these people from this thing, but I want to make a move on one of my really strong allies, because if I get to the end with Christian and Devins, I'm not going to get a single vote. Mm-hmm. So I need to get rid of Devins. I need to get rid of Christian. God, Phil wasn't
done. This just in, breaking news. There's alliances on Survivor. And guess what? Jeff's going to do something to ensure these alliances can't play Survivor together. Get ready, because something's going to happen. Even if it's not this week, it'll be next week. That alliance, the cut from the same cloth alliance, the old school alliance, the honor and integrity alliance, whatever you want to call it, that alliance seems like it's in a pretty good spot, and it feels like these other two alliances we have described would probably want to work with them. But you always know Jeff thinks it's better to make sure it's random and that they're dodging production landmines rather than player landmines. Tune in Wednesday night at 8 to find out what's going to happen.
What is this? Phil Devins.
Dun, dun, dun. Because, no, I just think about when they did the Devins thing, right, this last week. With his confessional thing. And by the way, I love that these are over here. Blake, you can probably play like the bounce one or something like that at some point today. I watched Devins give that confessional last week. And I'm like, man, we're getting Devins the way I want Devins to be. We're getting Christian playing the way that I want him to be. We're getting the Honor and Integrity Alliance the way I want them to be. We're getting a Genevieve versus Aubrey showdown. I like rivalries. We're getting Emily being Emily. That's fun. We're getting Joe. Like, I'm enjoying all of the characters, and I'm enjoying what all the characters are bringing. And then Jeff just jumps in and he's like, dun, dun, dun. It's like, we need Rick Devins to be the one giving the confessional of, here's the BS that's going to happen this week. Because to me right now, because I'm not going to spoil my my power rankings, but I am going to say that Honor and Integrity Alliance is the best alliance in the game, and it's not because of my personal preference. It is because every single one of them has proven that they will be loyal to a fault. Coach lost, right? Chrissy lost. Chrissy was loyal to her alliance and then was so committed to trying to get out Ben, it ends up hurting her because she was never able to do it. Although, you know, twists, all that stuff. But super loyal. Jonathan, super loyal. Coach, we already talked about Coach. Stephanie, super loyal, right? Stephanie had to start voting people out in Guatemala because people need to get voted out of the game, and that's how that works. And then who's the fifth person in that one? Coach, Steph, Joe.
Jonathan.
Jonathan, and there's one
Chrissy.
More. Chrissy. Okay, so I did say them all. I just forgot that I named them all. Why would you not want to go to the finals with those people? Like, if you're in one of these other alliances and your alliance blows up, that's who you want to go to the end with. You don't want to go with Christian and Devins. You don't want to go with Aubrey or D as a two-time winner, or Emily, because that's a story, or Rizzo, the unknown who went there, or Ozzy or Sari, because that is, you know, game suicide. You want to go with one of these five. So if you're in one of these other alliances, you're not picking each other. You're picking this Honor and Integrity Alliance, at least in my opinion. I think the Honor and Integrity Alliance is in a very, very, very good spot. And that's great. Skaterboy says all the Honor and Integrity people are now the least popular players on the season by audience vote. Not by real audience vote. That's by like a small Instagram vote. Like, I'm sorry, but like, I can tell you with
those
certainty
360 right now, people on Instagram that vote.
Yeah, I could tell you with certainty. And I get, like, we're all looking at this stuff. We can only look where we can see, but I am telling you right now, I saw the people at the Ron Clark event. Christian had the longest line. Steph's was pretty damn long too. I'm just saying. So like, maybe the popularity of Blake's doing the Gross Boys dance, which, yeah, when Will found that thing, I didn't know what that meant, so I had to listen to the podcast. Coach is definitely not unpopular. That's for sure. And people are still loving Joe. Like, I know that Joe's all over the place, but I'm not knocking Skater Boy here. I'm just saying I think that is a very small portion of this fandom that is saying they don't like that group. I think for the most part, that is a group that a lot of people are rooting for. They're just not an active social media portion of the community. I think that those five are, I mean, look, somebody's going to go at some point. That's going to happen. Like, because there's going to be a twist, they're going to get broken up. They got to do more double eliminations. Mr. Beast is going to point at somebody. And if they say, who, me, that means they're out of the game. Like, there's going to be something random that's going to happen, because random is what random is. But I think that this is going to happen. We have Cass Burchard. I see the Rizzo, Sari, Ozzy going with the old school group because they are more predictable, and D gets blindsided, hence the foreshadowing we saw. I agree that I think D gets blindsided. I also think if you're Sari and Ozzy, it is smart to go with that group, because that group has a lot of people that they need to be worried about themselves. And if you're Sari and Ozzy, the easiest person to probably convince to take you to final three is Coach. And I know people will jump down my throat about that, because it's like, well, Ozzy and Coach hate each other. It's like, yeah, but imagine the redemptive arc if they sat next to each other and Sari was there. I wanted to take the best to the end, and I literally took two of the best to ever do it, and Coach gets third place. But I feel like I'm...
Are really? Ozzy and Coach going after each other at this too?
I don't
think
so. This
is the first time they can vote at each other. They were pissed at each other 6.5 episodes ago. Is that going to come into play or not?
I think that the game that I'm seeing Ozzy play right now, he's more concerned about Christian. He wants to play with Emily and not Christian, and he said that. I think that the Coach stuff is old news at this point. And I think if the alliance is right, we could get a confessional from Ozzy saying, I'll work with Coach if I have to for one vote. But Coach is done. Ozzy also has an idol, though. Coach would be dumb to go after Ozzy. And I'm pretty sure everybody knows Ozzy has the idol. I mean, there was that whole jump around in the last episode about how everybody knows Ozzy has the idol. Everybody knows Ozzy has the idol. So Coach isn't going after Ozzy here. Coach last week put his foot in his mouth, which, by the way, we had Bryce on the podcast. I wanted to ask, how did he get his foot bent that far? That was insane. Bryce put his foot in his mouth. That was insane. Anyway, Coach put his foot in his mouth last time. And he said immediately said, I shouldn't have done that. Coach, you got to stop. You got to stop. You got to stop. If he starts pushing really hard to get rid of Ozzie, how is that good gameplay from Coach? If the numbers are there, the numbers are there. So I think Coach is in Ozzie. I think that's going to kind of just be the one that simmers for a little bit because other people in their alliance say, guys, we need to take out bigger threats right now. So that I think you broke down the alliances pretty well there, but I think what's also interesting about the Honor and Integrity Alliance is there's a little bit of a connection to Aubrey there because they showed that scene of Aubrey talking to Coach, and Aubrey and Coach have had not gone to a tribal council yet together, but they still included that scene. That has to mean something. We have
Aubrey has a Coach nickname or no?
I don't know if she got one or not, but she definitely went over and talked to him. Maybe she's the Oak Warrior or whatever. Dude, I still laugh. I don't even know if those are real now. I need Tyson to tell me if those are real because I didn't Google it, but I'm sure his team did. But Aubrey, that confessional has to mean something. That has to be in the story for a reason. Aubrey got so much pre-merge content that she didn't need because she goes to one tribal to vote out Genevieve in a 4-0 unanimous vote. Why is that Aubrey's story right now? So if she's going and talking to Coach and we see Coach lose Ozzie, is there the potential that Aubrey slips in there? What's crazy is Aubrey has the idol and possibly the most avenues right now to play. I think Rizzo and her probably have the most avenues because Rizzo could also go with that Honor and Integrity Alliance because he had some sort of relationship with Steph early on. Most of that original Vatu tribe is gone. And then Suri and Ozzie have connections there. But like Christian, Devins, they're not working with Joe again. Devins and Joe were oil and water. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. So I don't know. I feel like that Honor and Integrity portion, maybe this is just me being like, go win it for Colby. And it's like Colby's little like angelic face up in the background behind everybody. And like, they're all like working hard, arms folded, you know, really good. Do it for Colby. But I feel like they're in a good spot. I really do. I mean, what do you think, Blake? I've kind of talked over you here. I want to give you your time. I'll give you more than 30 seconds on like Will last time, you know?
It's interesting. I'm looking at my 14-1 list. And as you're saying stuff, I was like, well, that's what I'm about to say whenever we go one by one, because yep, I also agree. Yep, I agree on that. Okay. Maybe I don't agree on that one, but I'm ready to do some numbers and prove it to you guys how smart I am at doing this stuff. I think what's interesting about what one final thing that I kind of want to say is when you get to the end, we've set the table here. When it's time for dessert and it's final tribal council, and we have a game player with an honor and integrity and maybe a less good game player. Let's say there's two good game players and an honor and integrity person in the end. The two good game players, are you going to respect them when they cut all your throats? Or will the honor integrity's through line of like, I did make it to the end because I stuck true and honest. Is there a chance any honor and integrity game player could win this season?
Yes.
Or is it like, can there be enough blood on Survivor 50 where they're like, I will vote for one of Jonathan, Steph, Chrissy, Joe, or Coach to win at the end because I'm tired of your shit. Other two
I people. Think we are at 14 people left. So we're going to have a jury of 11.
Cool.
Let's say one of Coach, Steph, Chrissy, Joe, Jonathan sit at the end, right? So there's four people from that Honor and Integrity Alliance not there. One of the people sitting there, there's 11 votes. That person is starting with four votes. Okay. Now there's two other people sitting there, and I'm assuming based on the cast that we have remaining, the other two people are going to be worthy adversaries. I don't see a Tasha Spencer type situation on this season. there's no Russell right now where everybody just can't stand the person. So let's say one of those people
if it's Emily and Rizzo and Joe at the end, just pick three random ones. Emily versus Rizzo is the meat of the conversation, but Joe has four locked votes from everybody that enjoyed playing with him.
Joe has four locked votes, and then it comes down to, can he get one more? Because five would be enough to win, because Emily would get D's vote. Emily would probably get Christian's vote. Rizzo's going to get, you know, I mean, there's so much game left, but Rizzo's going to get, let's say, Cerie's vote. They're married. Not voting for your husband would be crazy. So just by getting one vote, two votes, now it's a 4-4-3 at worst, or it's a 5-4-2 for the person like Emily who has more connections. So what do? Joe needs one more vote. Like, realistically, if somebody, they have to go solo. I think that's important to state here. But right now, the way the Honor and Integrity Alliance is set up, they're actually positioned well that if one of them gets to the end to get votes. Now, if they try to get greedy and have three of them go to the end, that's
they'll get all 11 votes, but it'll be weird.
Well, they will get all 11 votes, but then it's going to come down to who do they think is the best player. I think that the way it is set up right now, what's also interesting about who's left in the game, and I'm going to run through this because we talked about this a lot before the season started, but I think it's important to bring it up again. There are 14 people left. Aubrey, final tribal loser. Chrissy, final tribal loser. Ozzy, final tribal loser. Joe, final tribal loser. Steph, final tribal loser. Coach, final tribal loser. That's six people. Five of them are in the same alliance right now. And even if they haven't officially made those alliances, those are the five, those people are playing together. So you're talking five of the six final tribal council losers are playing together right now. They've already lost. So if you're one of the other people who's never sat at a final tribal, a Rizzo, Emily, a Devins, you'd probably want to try to work with those people because you think you can beat them because they already lost at a final tribal. And if you're one of those people, Cerie wins fans favorites if she gets to the end. Rizzo might win. He said it was like 50-50. He's not sure, but he might win. Devins absolutely wins if he gets to the end, right? Christian was too far away. Jonathan loses. Marianne would have beaten Jonathan. But still, I mean, why wouldn't you want to work with these people? So I don't know. I think that's interesting. So
did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
You want to start ranking people?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. You get to go first. Who do you have as your safest person this week?
We're going from 1 down to 14.
You always start with the safe. Blake, do you not listen to these podcasts every
single
week?
I don't have time.
Wait, you don't have time.
I have to be on the podcast. I don't have time to watch. I did this one, so I thought. My safest person of all time is Cerie Fields. I don't think there's anybody pointing a gun at her. I think this is kind of how it works on these seasons of how many people have died to Cerie's sword, how many people have helped Cerie kill others. That numbers are insane. She's only gone out of the game due to idols. All the idols are on her side. There's nobody on the other side against Cerie with an idol. So I think Cerie has the aura. She has the way to back it up. She has the execution to not go home at 14 and not even be in any consideration to go home at 14.
But Blake, she has the idols on her side, but she doesn't have an idol. That's my biggest takeaway here. She still doesn't have an idol. So for me, I can't put her at one. I feel good about her spot. Did you not just hear the whole honor and integrity conversation we just had?
The people that have idols are coming up. Chill out, hey, dude.
Did you not just hear the entire thing that we just had?
Yeah, I think Cerie's the safest. And you're welcome to pick someone else. But Cerie could play final 14 of this merge 100 times and be safe 99.9. Arizona Phil is he's toast, man.
You know what's the best, though? I'm hitting all these sound effects, and this is what Blake will do to us on the Patreon. Like, we'll be trying to get ready for the podcast, and we'll be trying to talk, and Blake will be like, let's put in the 30-second thing so that we can't talk to each other, and let's do all this. Oh, my God, no way. How did I not see that before? Did anybody else just see that? It's breaking news. There's a loop. I didn't know that was there. How did I not hit that? Look, I got to go number one here. I think it's pretty easy. I think it starts with an R, and then it ends with an IZGOD. I think it's Rizgod. I think he's in the best spot by far. I mean, we just talked about it. Alliances are pulling for him. He knows about Cerie's extra vote. Everybody knows he has an idol, but he's used that as proper ammunition. He's an unknown, which actually at this point makes him a little useful, because how does Rizzo get the votes to win at the end? It's going to be very hard for him just with the cast that is sitting there. I think it's Rizzo. I think that he has positioned himself incredibly well. And I will say this, and maybe it's because 49 was pretty much spoiled because we all knew who was returning. I think Rizzo's game right now is infinitely better than his first game. The first, yeah, Mr. Monkey says, today is Rizzo's day. He has risen. Anyway, I feel like his first game was solid. But him, Savannah, Sophie, a lot of things broke their way. They had to do a lot of different things to like work their way up. I know Rizzo's only gone to one tribal council here. I feel like the game he is playing right now is as good as a unknown returning player could play. By this point, we all knew Malcolm couldn't win. There was no way he was winning season 26. By this point, we all knew Russell couldn't win unless you were a real filthy casual like I was back in 2010. I'm like, he's playing the best game I've ever seen. But you pretty much know by this point. And instead, I'm sitting here going, okay, I don't think Rizzo wins, but I don't think Rizzo wins because people just aren't going to want to vote for him over the other names. Like, I think he has to sit with Tiffany and Emily. He's got to sit with two new era people. Maybe he could sit with Steph, but I still think Steph with the Honor and Integrity Alliance probably gets enough votes. But I think he's playing a great game. And when you talk about adversaries, him getting rid of Charlie was much more satisfying than Aubrey getting rid of Genevieve. Because the way the story unfolded was, I'm Rizzo, I'm playing the game, I think I'm with Charlie, and then Charlie starts going at Rizzo, and that word gets around, and we see Rizzo scramble. And I think that's the other thing, like when you guys were complaining last week about the Aubrey thing and like how I was complaining about Aubrey, not Aubrey in general, but Aubrey versus Genevieve and the conclusion of that storyline. The Rizzo versus Charlie storyline had a very satisfying conclusion. Charlie thought he had everything locked down, and Rizzo out-hustled him and duped him and voted him out of the game. Aubrey versus Genevieve didn't have that same satisfying conclusion because of the twist that was thrown into the game. And that's why I get annoyed with the twist, especially when there's very little time for the players to talk to each other. The way Rizzo navigated everything makes you say, wow, he's playing a great game. Look at what he was able to do. Look how he was able to get rid of his biggest adversary in Charlie. So I think that Rizzo at number one is the place to be. He's got an idol. I don't see how he goes home. I think he's too well connected. So that's my guy. I also met Rizzo this week, and he literally looked at his girlfriend and was like, Liz God, this is what it's all about. This is the guy, or something like that. And I was like, man, this is great.
Well, for all that being said, I'm going to go somewhere crazy different from my number two. I'm going to choose Riz God as number two for me. Everything Phil just said made sense. I do think what I'm trying, I do this power ranking not for the whole game and winners. I think it's for 14 who could go home. Mm-hmm. I think Rizzo is smart enough to, whenever if he had any heat, this is a great time to play an idol at 14. To like, if anybody's on my ass, I'm going to get them out and then pick up the pieces at 13 or 12, no matter how many votes there are this time, and like run with that crew. And I think Rizzo, last time we saw him, whenever Nate was snatched from the game, I think that was a moment where it was like, okay, now we're playing. It's time to be cutthroat. There's no like fun stuff or like, let's go pick up sticks. He went into game mode from Nate's boot on. And I think that if he loses an ally right here, or let's get out my biggest adversary from that side, I think this will be the same type of deal of like, it's going to be a huge move, a huge Rizzo. I just did this 19 days ago. I can get right back in that mindset. Flow state, baby. R-I-Z-G-O-D. But honestly, he's not going anywhere. He has an idol and people are going to want to use him. So he's going to be voting in the majority on this one, unless it gets, because they're not going to vote for somebody with an idol. We know where all the idols are. I hope there is another idol, so it's more fun to talk about on podcasts for a couple weeks. But I'm sure the people playing the game are like, please don't introduce any more idols. But I think there needs to be a merge idol and maybe a Jimmy Fallon idol to have a little bit more uncertainty coming down.
Riz God says, fair play had to wrestle me and interrupt the Riz God / specialist collab.
Oh my God.
He did. Well, to give everybody a little bit of tea here from that event, Rizzo was talking to Nate when I first walked over and I said, hey Rizzo. And he stopped talking to Nate to talk to me. So he went away from a Marvel producer who is infinitely more valuable to talk to, probably an infinitely better person too. And he came over to talk to me. So I appreciate that, Rizzo. And I appreciate that you had a wrestling match with Fairplay. I can't wait for that to air on TV. We were all very confused. I was standing off to the side and I was talking to Karishma's husband, Drew. Great guy. And he was like, what are they doing?
Is Karishma like, coming on the podcast or not?
Yeah, dude. She's coming on in what, 2 weeks, I think? And he was like, I was like, what are they doing? And he's like, I really don't know. And I'm like, should we go watch? He's like, no, I think we're good. So we didn't go over and watch the wrestling match. Sorry, Rizzo. But yeah,
Rizzo, not read Bobby's comment, by the way. Do not read.
Yeah, Bobby. That's actually Bob God. He does not like Rizzo. No, it's I don't even remember where you're at, but I just think Rizzo's in a good spot. And I think that the problem here is, and this is the problem with returning player seasons in general, and this is something that I always like to talk about. There are people who come on to the show who have a chance to win. There are people who come onto the show who are favorites to win, and there are people who come onto the show who have a massive uphill battle to win. And what I mean by this is, like, when you play the first time, you establish your legacy. When you play the second time, you solidify your legacy. Parv's first time, she established her legacy as the flirt. When she came back, she solidified her legacy as a strategist. But people didn't know how good of a strategist she was coming to that second time. Yao Man on his first time established himself as a strategist. When he came back the second time, he solidified himself as a strategist, and he got voted out really early because of it, because everybody was like, we can't let this guy go further in the game. he had 1,000-to-1 odds to win that game to start. And I think that right now Rizzo knows. Rizzo is a student of the game. Rizzo is a fan of the game. He knows that the chances of winning the season are almost zero. Because people who play back-to-back will go far, but they don't win. And he knows he has to play a different game to win the game. And he needs to be a little bit shower. He needs to show off, tell people what he's doing. Because if he plays passive at all, he's not winning. And I think for Rizzo, too, the other thing is, a lot of people who play twice back-to-back seasons come back and play a third time. The ones who don't, Zeke and Mikayla. Mikayla probably should. Zeke, I don't think Zeke wanted to after what happened to him on Game Changers, unfortunately. But I think Zeke was just done with Survivor after that point. But I think Mikayla is somebody who absolutely could have come back and played again, sipping the tea, all of that fun stuff. The only way you do that, though, is if you really are a big, impactful personality the second time you play. And a lot of these players are. And I'm not saying Rizzo is playing to the cameras. I'm just saying, like, Rizzo knows his odds aren't high here, but his odds are going to be a lot better if he comes back and plays a third time. But, hey, he's putting himself in a position to play, I think, well or better here. So, I don't know, to potentially get some votes at the end. So, anyway, that's it. Let's do number two for me.
Cool.
I'm going to be stupid. I'm going OZGOD, Ozgod, baby. I have to go with Ozzy here. I feel like Ozzy and Rizzo spending time over on the beach. Ozzy, everybody knows he has the idol. Ozzy's been voted out with an idol in his pocket before. Ozzy has a lot of connections. I know him and Coach aren't getting along well, but I think if Coach were to go after Ozzy, it would be a really stupid move for Coach. I think that Coach would be putting himself in a really bad spot, would really put his back up against the wall. You got to let this play out. And I think there's a lot of people who want to play with Ozzy. I think a lot of people want to play this game with Ozzy. Ozzy's obviously going to be a threat at challenges in the post-merge. So are a lot of people on this season. Like, this season is stacked. The season's loaded. I feel like Ozzy's threatening, but you voted him out every other season, except for in Cook Islands when they wanted to before they did the mutiny. So I'm going to put Ozzy at number two. I think that he would be smart enough to play his idol, which is why I think he will ultimately be safe this week, even if his name does come up.
Yes. Here you go. Good for you, Ozzy.
Maybe I shouldn't put that.
You're going to hate where I put Ozzy on.
I don't care. Hey, dude, put Ozzy wherever you want to, you know?
I wonder
if what that reasoning might be.
I kind of agree of like, of the three people that have idols, who could possibly play it wrong? In my opinion, it's Ozzy. That's why I have him further down. But I am wondering how this cast of legends are going to allow people with idols. Of like, I if I'm on one of these alliances, I would raise my hand and be like, can we flush all of these idols, or are we going to play around them for 8 weeks in a row, guys? Like, what do you guys want to do? Because let's flush them out right now. And then don't. And then, yeah. But like, it is one of those, like, God, is Aubrey going to have this idol until final seven? Is Ozzy going to have this idol until final seven? Is Rizzo going to have this idol until final seven? And then we're like, literally obliterated because they all play their idols and then they vote for the other people, and like, we have an advantage getting at final seven this time. Like, that would be awful.
I think they're going to try to pull some sort of blindside on these people at some point. And I think especially with Ozzy, I agree with you that Ozzy's probably in the most danger of being blindsided with an idol in his pocket. Because Rizzo and Aubrey right now, I think Aubrey's antenna are up. Like, who is she really playing with? And I feel like Rizzo right now would be able to tell. He's had such a good read. So it's easy to sit here and assume like he's just never going to play his idol. So maybe he's going to get voted out with it. But I feel like his reads have just been right. He's never been wrong about it. I feel like Ozzy has the best chance to get blindsided. And I do think we're going to see the majority of votes on at least one or two of these players as the season progresses. I just don't think it's going to be here. I think this is going to be a safety vote. And that seems to be what the merge is. And hey, if production is going to keep rewarding people for playing safe, play safe. That's what they're rewarding people for right now. Play safe then. You know, don't go for the big move. You don't want to piss anybody off because there could be a split at final 12. And do you really want to do a split at final 12 or at final 13? You know, you get sent to Exile Island and then you come back and join a team that your closest or your biggest enemy is on. You don't want to make any enemies in the show. And that's a big problem with the game. It's a lot more fun to watch the Packers play the Bears than the Packers play the Browns. Okay. It just is. It means a lot more. And I think that's the big problem is that you don't want to build up rivalries here, because why would you go head to head? Christian's put himself in a bad position by making an enemy of Ozzy. Camilla put herself in a bad position by making an enemy of Jonathan. The people without enemies are the people who are going to go far. Those are also the people who can play a little passive. That's stupid. That's bad for Survivor, but that's what's happening. So,
My number three is the other person with an idol, Aubrey. I think she is going to be somebody that is important to multiple groups of these alliances. Of is her coach thing going to come to fruition or not? And why would we vote out Aubrey right now? She has the idol. I think she is the most motivated to play an idol, because we know Rizzo will play with his food with the idol for forever. Ozzy got voted out with an idol before. I think Aubrey is the one. We saw her like already grab her holster with the Genevieve vote. I do not expect Aubrey's idol to make it to Final 10, but I expect Aubrey to make it to Final 10. So I'm expecting, out of all the three idol players, Aubrey is the one with the most agency to play the idol. If you're playing your idol, you're not going home. So Aubrey will not be going home at Final 14.
I'm going Aubrey at three as well. I'd put all the idol people at the beginning. I've learned nothing from season 46, and that's fine with me. I'm putting Aubrey at Final three. Guardy says Aubrey's had such an awful edit. Even the Genevieve boot was attributed to Rick and Christian. I disagree. I think that you're right in terms of who the Genevieve boot was attributed to. I do think it was attributed to Rick and Christian. I think that for somebody who went to one tribal council, Aubrey's had a great edit. And I think that also the fact that there was such a storyline of Aubrey versus Genevieve, and then Genevieve goes right before the merge, they wanted us to feel something about Aubrey's storyline. And when I'm coming into this episode now, Chrissy didn't have a big episode last week. Chrissy only has 7 confessionals. I don't think Chrissy can win, but we're seeing Chrissy's storyline. We're seeing Dee's storyline. We're seeing a lot of people's storyline. I think Aubrey definitely has had a storyline, and I don't think she's had an awful edit at all. And they definitely have not wanted to make her look bad in the edit.
One dumb thought process for Aubrey, she's had a really annoying time playing. Do we have a confessional from her at Final 14 or the next couple episodes where she goes, Survivor's actually fun again, and I'm having a blast? I'm like, as soon as she says that, I'm going to be like, oh, crap, how far does Aubrey get into this game?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance we do get something like that, especially this week. I feel like now there's not going to be anybody going after Aubrey. I feel like Aubrey's going to be able to actually like play her game, and it's not going to be, oh, no, I have Genevieve who's breathing down my neck, and she's going to come after me, and she's going to do this, and she's going to do that. I think that how does Aubrey even get targeted this week? Ozzy could get targeted this week. How does Aubrey get targeted this week? Christian and Devins just proved that they didn't even want to make her play her idol, right? Joe was there too, right? Joe was the fifth person there. Joe was there. They didn't make her play the idol. Tiffany's on her side, which means Dee is on her side. You know, Sari and her have played together. I could see that being something. I don't know. And Cass Burchard says, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt that she's just sad being away from her baby, and her confession has been lackluster and just not entertaining. I get where people are coming from, maybe with the fact that like they're not enjoying what they're getting from Aubrey, but Aubrey's edit has been very good. I think that they're giving her a lot of content, which is ultimately what I'm talking about when I'm talking about edit. Not so much like, you know, Joe's gotten a lot of content, but Joe's gotten a lot of bad content about how he hasn't really learned from his mistakes. So anyway, okay, so we both had Aubrey at three. Who's your four?
My four, when I look down at my card, things are about to get gross. Dude, Stephanie,
I'm gross too.
Stephanie is equal parts, like, I think whether you look at her online, or, like, focus on her on this TV show, I think people enjoy talking to her. I think she's good at challenges. I think she's good at shutting up whenever she needs to shut up, and I think she's good at agreeing with things. And I think of all the old school players, she's from Palau. She is the most like, I kind of know how to play this game, because I'm so surprised she made it through the Mike White vote. She made it through the Angelina vote. And it was kind of like, is she going to go home or not?
I think that type of gameplay is going to behoove her well for Final 14. Why would you get rid of Stephanie when there's bigger targets in the honor integrity of, like, would you rather play an immunity challenge against Jonathan or Stephanie? It's like they both kind of suck, but Stephanie is less of a threat, but not really. But, like, I think she's the perfect mix of, I know how to play, I know what I'm doing, and I know how to be agreeable. And I think Final 14 is all about being agreeable. So she's going to be around.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the things that people miss when they look more at people's, like, social media, personal lives, whatever, which, again, like, we always talk about what they are on the show. Yeah, I met Stephanie this week. Stephanie was great. Like, I loved talking to Stephanie for the little bit of time that I did get to talk to her. I had a great conversation with her, truly.
Did you buy any merch?
No, because she wasn't selling the Gross Boy shirts, which pissed me off. But I think that people sometimes, like, if we're, you know, habitually online, we start to lose the plot of who people are in real life. Nobody has said anything about Stephanie on this season at all. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Blake, when it's like, watch the show. And right now on the show, everybody likes Stephanie. I also think that Stephanie is very unthreatening to everybody out there. Because you watch Stephanie come back and lose 6-1. You watched her get voted out super early in Heroes versus Villains. And Stephanie's done a great job. People are mentioning, like, Arcadis here. It's impressive how she keeps getting out of the swap screws. She's doing a great job of navigating it, but nobody's looking at Stephanie as a strategic threat. She just won that challenge. Nobody's looking at her as a physical threat. But she kind of is a little bit of a threat on everything. So for me, I feel like it's crazy she's not getting looked at all. But I don't see anyone looking at Stephanie right now and saying, that's the person who needs to be the merge boot. And because she has this honor and integrity alliance, it wouldn't be like a unanimous 13-1 vote that gets her out of the game. I think she's in a great spot. Blake, you're going to be dancing for a long time.
I think the other thing that pops in my head when we're saying this, and you may be like, well, why did it pop in your head? But the last All-Star season we have to kind of do this is Winners at War. And nobody got rid of Sarah Lucina at Final 14, Final 12, Final 11. She went at Fire. And I'm kind of like, is there some more similarities of, like, I'm an alliance member you can rely on who's good at challenge, but you don't care that I'm good at challenges because I'm an alliance member you can rely on. And this is, I think, when Stephanie tells you something, you're going to believe it. You're not going to, like, wonder. I don't think she has hardcore lied to anybody on this cast yet, because there's some people that are coming into this merge that have lied to each other 3 or 4 times, and there will be a, like, you know, I had to do that, right? I don't think Stephanie's having those conversations of, like, I'm sorry I lied to you, I had to do that. Like, nobody's going to be mad that Stephanie voted out Camilla. It's all on Jonathan. And, like, if it's on someone else, it's like, we need to get rid of Chrissy so she stops getting in these people's heads. It's not going to be like Stephanie's to go.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Totally, totally agree. Yeah. Okay. So we have almost a very similar top. You just decided to put Ceree there because you love Ceree and you can't turn it off. So who do you have at 5?
I have 5 is Emily Flippin, which I bet is maybe different than yours.
Yes.
Emily Flippin, whenever I have her in my Emily, Christian, Aubrey, Rick nerd area, I think Christian and Rick are going to be bigger targets than her. And I think Emily has the Aussie connection where, like, there will be a quick, like, we can't vote out Emily. She's been super important to a bunch of our stuff. Yes, Emily flips. You guys may think that. I don't think that. But there's, I think how you play All-Stars is you vote out people who could run the table. Emily will not run the table. Emily will lose Survivor eventually. I don't think Emily will win Survivor 50. Those are people you want to keep in at Final 14, because keep people that will lose later so you can beat them later. Vote the people that will knock you out later now.
Yeah.
That's so simplifying how complex this game is, but Emily will make a mistake later down the line that you can capitalize on. more so than some of these other people.
Agreed. No, I agree with that. I don't have Emily that much lower, but I don't have her at five. I actually have Joe at five. Again, I'm going with this honor and integrity strong here at the top. And I think that the way Joe has played so far, maybe Devins and Christian say, let's get rid of Joe. You know, especially Devins and him were butting heads early. But I think Joe was actually pretty good, well connected. Like that original starting tribe that he was on, a lot of them did end up making it through to the merge. I mean, I know we lost Savannah and we lost Jenna right off the bat, but everybody else made it to the merge. Sari, Emily, Christian, Joe, Devins, Ozzy. They all made it to the merge. So he has a lot of connections there. He also has a lot of connections with Coach and you know, potentially Aubrey, if that conversation between Coach and Aubrey meant something. There's a lot of avenues for Joe to go. And I think that that's really important here. So I'm going to put him at five. I also just, again, kind of in the same boat as Stephanie. If you just got to this final 14, now the game has started and you're looking down the line and you're saying, okay, who would I be most excited to sit down next to at a final three? Because now that's going through everybody's mind. If my game went perfect, who would I want to sit next to? I think Joe's still there. I said before the season began that Joe could win this season. I think he's likable enough. And I think he probably learned from losing his game. The way the season has gone so far, I don't think Joe can win at this point.
Which is why I have him at number six as well. So we are thinking the same type of way, which whenever we have an hour of thinking about it first, I don't think we knew that this was going to be kind of the same, but I think we've watched enough Survivor and enough All-Star seasons to kind of figure this out. I think what we got from Joe pre-merge was he's the person that we need to update. He's the person we need to handle with kid gloves. He's the person, but now we have an alliance that's willing to do that for him. We have an alliance that wants to be with him, whether that's annoying to play with or not. And I do think whenever we're catering to a person, they end up becoming really important of like, this vote's not going to go through unless we have Joe. And then you go, well, who does Joe want then? Mm-hmm. And I would hate to be somebody that's playing against Joe. Like, whoever Joe likes the least is in danger. And if you didn't like Joe and you wanted Joe out first at 14, I think it would be almost impossible to get him out because everybody else would be like, why are you focused on him? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those like, Joe, can Joe win a season? I had him at 97% last time, but I did not expect his final tribal council to not come through. And I think when you saw that, and if you're not getting improv classes, if you're not getting public speaking classes before you go in on All-Star season and you lose a second final tribal council, that's on you. And like, I think some of these people have been with microphones that Rob has a podcast or Ron Clark Academy, where it's like, I feel more confident than ever in my public speaking. I know that's a weird avenue to go down here, but I think Joe is somebody that, why do you have him at six? Because if Joe got third place and was the final tribal council loser with zero votes, I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I have him up high too. My number six, I have Sari. I know like you put her at one. I know you just love Sari. So you're going to take a shot to put her at one on your one power rankings episode. I'm putting her at six because even though Sari might be the most threatening to win the game, she's not a threat at final 14 or 13 or 12 or 11 or 10 or 9. She starts to become a threat at final 8. She's in a great spot.
Sari has never won a season of Survivor. She's not a threat at any point.
Well, she's
except at final tribal.
Yeah, exactly. The part she can't get to. And when I look at Sari, think about all of the allies she has right now. I mean, it's crazy. Rizzo, Ozzy, right? She has the extra vote. She voted with D. Right, which means then she's going to have Tiffany. She voted with, we already said Rizzo. She has Joe. She has Devins. She has Christian. She has Emily, right, from that original alliance. She has so many avenues to go. And nobody's better at the social game of being like, you're right. Jonathan does suck. Let's get rid of Jonathan. She's so good. She's so good. So for me, Sari becomes a threat eight on because we don't know what the twists are going to be. Idols, all of that stuff. You can't let her sit at final three. So I'm putting her at six. And Guardy says Ceri was better than Jonathan at that last challenge. Yeah, that last challenge might not have been suited to Jonathan.
That was sick, actually. So let's recap. We each had the same six people for our top six, just in,
yep, just in a different order. Yep.
So those six people were Joe, Emily, Steph, Aubrey, Rizzo, Ceri.
Yep.
Great.
Who's your seven?
Uh-oh.
I just lost the tip of the pen here. Okay.
Who's your seven? You go first.
Emily. Oh, wait. So we didn't have the same top. Oh, yeah. We didn't have the same top six. Way to go, dude. Because I have Emily at seven. Because you haven't said OZ, G-O-D, Ozgod, baby.
Oh, yeah. He's coming later. Gotcha. Good thing we did that.
I have Emily here because she can't win a challenge. Like, I did a challenge with Emily at Ron Clark Academy, and I said to her, I was like, oh, no. She's like, I'm really bad at challenges. I was like, no, I did it with Brandon last time. She's like, you realize Brandon's better than me at challenges, right? And I was like, fair. Emily, hopefully one day I'll be able to bring up on this podcast, maybe one day with Emily actually on the podcast, of how well we did at that challenge, which I will tell you was atrocious. We made it through the first round, and then we made it to the second round, and myself, Carl, and Emily, and the rest of our team would still be competing trying to do that puzzle because it was the one that wasn't up on the rafters. That's part of the excuse, but we were terrible. Emily's not winning challenges. It's not going to happen. She's also right now one of the more confrontational people out there, which I think actually works in her favor because, you know, how Ceri becomes the person of, I want to use them as a shield. Emily becomes the person of, well, Emily's kind of being a little all over the place. Maybe we should get rid of her later. But she's also somebody you know is going to spill information to you. Now, you don't want to be giving her information. I laughed in the last episode when somebody gave her information. She's like, I'm not going to tell anybody. And I was like, oh, my God. Of course she's not. But I just feel like she's in a good spot and she's connected too. It kind of goes back to what I was saying with Ceri. That original starting tribe that was so bad, lost two people in the first three boots. For the first two people voted out of the game were from that tribe because Kyle ended up getting medevaced. And they're all still in the game. And Emily has D because they were on the same starting season and because they actually played a little bit together on that season. And I keep going back to this, but if you have D, that means you have Tiffany. Emily has so many avenues. And if they do try to go after Christian, Devins, Emily, it's not Emily. Why would you vote out Emily before you'd vote out Christian or Devins? That makes zero sense. I'm going to try to find this pen.
My number seven is Chrissy. For kind of the same reasons as yours is Emily, why would you vote out Chrissy when you could vote out Jonathan, when you could vote out Coach, people from that honor integrity? If you're going to go after that honor integrity, I feel like those are the targets you would go for, and Chrissy will just be hanging around. I also think based on Chrissy's, what is it called? Confessional from last time. I think she's going to start being important or maybe being the voice of the honor integrity of Chrissy. Maybe is not in charge, but Chrissy is an important voice. And maybe that's why she's more likely to go home than a Steph. But like, I think why would you want to? I just, in the mindset of you have to vote out Jonathan as soon as the merch hits, you have to vote out Ozzy as soon as the merch is, you have to vote out these people that have won so many challenges, but I didn't do that for Joe because of how that works. So Chrissy is in that part of, she's in charge of, not in charge. She's a voice in her group. I'm excited to see Chrissy and Coach talk. Cause I think that'll do a lot of stuff of like, is Coach excited to see Chrissy or is it kind of like we're in an alliance of like, this is just what's easy, or are we in an alliance because we actually care about each other?
Yeah, I think that there's a way Chrissy goes home this week, but I'm going to get to it when I get to her because I don't have her yet. So I do see a way that she could go. Although I will say, like, listening to you guys on the podcast and then watching the episode, Chrissy's really the only one who played Survivor last week. She played it really well. Like, that was a really good moment from Chrissy. I agreed with the Philly going to her last week. I feel like she did a great job. And I feel like what's happening here is everybody was so annoyed by the edit. And I'm not going to sit here and say that some people weren't under-edited. And Chrissy still only has seven on the season. But I do feel like, look, Chrissy and Tiffany aren't going to win, so somebody's got to get less screen time. But what I have seen from Chrissy so far, especially the last two or three times we've heard from her, has been so positive about her, about the way she's playing the game, about the way she's been through her life, all these different things. Like, Chrissy's moving up in my ranks of how much I like Chrissy. Even though she's not getting a lot of screen time, that doesn't mean that she can't be making the most of her screen time. There's a lot of people who've said a lot but haven't really said anything. Chrissy has said a lot with the little bit of screen time that she's had. And so I appreciate what Chrissy has been doing, but I do think that Chrissy could be in danger because of the way things have shaken out for her and the fact that her, you know, her screen time just has been minimal. But I'm going to go with Coach. I said this on the podcast with you and Bryce. We are now six episodes in, and Coach and Jonathan have the same number of confessionals. What in the world is happening? But then again, Coach went to his first tribal council last week. Are we about to eat Ruffles? Is that what I'm looking at?
No, chill, chill, chill.
All right. So I don't even know what that just was. Coach has donuts. Okay, good. Yeah, it is 11 a.m. Make a wish. Coach has played really not a lot of Survivor this season. Coach didn't go last week. We didn't hear much from him. There was nothing he could really do. We just heard the confessional about him putting his foot in his mouth. But I do feel like with this honor and integrity thing, plus the Aubrey Coach conversation, Coach is along for this game. I think Coach is going to be in the final six or seven of this season. I don't think Coach can win. Although, you know what? I think Coach can still win. You know why? Because Coach has still gotten screen time. Because
you're a freaking believer.
And because I'm an idiot. I'm going with Coach having a chance to still win, but I think he's going to be in the final six or seven of this season. However, I'm still only putting him at final. I'm putting him at number eight here in the back half of this because there are reasons to get rid of Coach. Ozzy being one of those people who could say, I want Coach out. I found out votes are coming for me. I'm playing Idol. Goodbye, Coach. But I think that the feuds that are coming to a head this week are Ozzy versus Christian, D versus Jonathan, or Tiffany versus Jonathan, whatever it's going to be. I think those are going to be the conversations. So I'm going to put Coach at eight for now.
Cool. My number eight is Tiffany. I think Tiffany is a lost soul swimming in a fishbowl at this 14, but I think it is something where, why would we vote out Tiffany? It's time to pick her up and have her be on our side. And yes, there's about to be a confrontation, but would Jonathan be like, we got to get Tiffany out first, and would anybody listen to him? And I think there was some kind of layer of every single merge vote for the last 10 seasons has been pick the person who is the most like outspoken, or maybe the word is annoying, or maybe the word is confrontational. And it's like, that's kind of happened on a few of these 40 season merges, but I don't see Tiffany as that. I see Tiffany as she's getting back with D, and D's more likely to go than Tiffany because D's a winner and people are going to start to like, oh yeah, we don't really want a winner around. I do see, where did I put Tiffany in that group? I put her in. If D is connected with a couple other people, Tiffany can get some bonuses from that. And maybe Tiffany talks to the Rizzo, Ozzy, and Suri trio that's at the top of your ranking and goes like, hey guys, like, I don't want to work with those people because they just voted out Camilla. And I'm aware of it now, and I'm ready to be a soldier to knock out that side. And then why would anybody go, no, thank you, you're going home tonight? I just don't see it. I don't see many people voting for Tiffany because we need to pick her up instead. I've said the same thing twice now, but that is my main thought process.
Some would say you're running over the same old ground year after year.
Oh my God.
I mean, if we're just going to keep doing the wish you were here references out of nowhere, we might as well. Right. So I'm going to go a little bit ahead here. Because I do, and then I'll save my bottom three. I go Jonathan at nine. I go Chrissy at 10 and Tiffany at 11. So I'm going to kind of talk through why I feel certain ways about this. Jonathan, I'm putting at nine because of this honor and integrity thing. D and Tiffany come after Jonathan. I'm keeping Jonathan around and I'm getting rid of Dee or Tiffany if I'm playing this game. We can say that Jonathan's a challenge beast. Not in the individual portion of the game. He's really not. He's going to win only things that are upper body strength. He's not going to win any puzzle challenges. And anything that involves swimming is going to end in a puzzle. So I think Jonathan's fine. I put him at 9, though, because at the end of the day, I don't feel like there's anybody who's like super tight with Jonathan. But he's going to be with the Honor and Integrity Alliance. He's got Chrissy. That's who's close with him. But then I put Chrissy at 10 because we saw early on D talking about wanting to boot Chrissy, not liking Chrissy. Maybe that's part of what the story of Chrissy's game is going to be, and that's why we weren't hearing from her much, because she's going to go home here. Ultimately, I'm not really too worried for Chrissy. I'm more worried for my bottom four. And I think the bottom four are in a lot more danger than everybody else. And Tiffany, who I have at 11, Tiffany, I could see absolutely going home this week. She had 2 confessionals through 5 episodes. She got 6 last week. 6! Out of nowhere. She's our narrator. She's doing everything. Now she's coming back and she's pissed because she just got blindsided. To me, that's not a good sign from an edit perspective. And I get that Tiffany might be the person where you say, well, why would you get rid of Tiffany here? There's bigger threats. There's bigger fish. But at the same time, maybe you're worried Dee has an idol. Maybe you're worried about Dee and Emily's relationship because Emily goes around and tells everybody everything. What are you worried about with Tiffany? I don't think you're worried about much in terms of idols, other things, whatever. Aubrey would probably try to protect Tiffany. I still think that's more important, which is why I don't have Tiffany all the way at the bottom. But I do feel like Aubrey will be the key to Tiffany staying if Tiffany stays. So I'm putting Tiffany at 11. And then St. Cliff is saying, ranking the rats to deal with before the war low, I see. I don't remember that confessional. Who said
fingers
that?
Fingers crossed. Okay, my number 9 is Ozzy. I think Ozzy is this way because if we're going to blindside anybody with an idol, it'll be the Ozzy version of it. I do think there's enough of... I've seen 4 seasons with you on it, bro. Yes, you've made the merge every time, but I'm trying to dump you off in the Micronesia area instead of you getting all the way to the end. Did he do worse on Game Changers? He did worse on Game Changers, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm trying to have this be a Game Changers or a Micronesia one, not you getting to Final 5. And so it's time to put some pressure on Ozzy. What happens? Does he win an immunity? Does he play his idol because he's nervous? I think he is. Yes, Ceri's on his side. The other thing that I think is funny is the messaging of, I'm playing a different game. I'm playing strategic Ozzy. That's bad for everyone else. Of Ozzy's gets to the end even when he's not playing strategically. So if he adds this layer to his game of he's even better strategically and paying attention, we've seen that kind of not be the case because he's still mad at the Mike White boot. He's still mad at Christian. But like, if Ozzy puts a layer of his game of strategy, you have to vote him out. Of like, normally we can play around Ozzy till the end and just hope to beat him in an immunity. But if he's going to also be strategically adept, he's got to go.
Yeah.
So I see Ozzy as a target from the Ceri, Dee, Rizzo, Tiffany area. And you'll see my other one at 10. You did your 10 already?
I did 10 and 11. So go ahead.
Okay. So my 10 is Dee, and that same idea of in the Ceri, Dee, Rizzo, Tiffany, Ozzy section. The two targets are Dee and Ozzy. Dee because she's a winner, because I think I think there's something to be said of we are fans of the game. I have not stepped a day on a beach in ever. Competition. Oh. But I think these 14 people, 13 of them, if you're not this person, are going to look around and be like, Dee is so suave and so good. If I'm not with Dee, I need to have a plan for what are my intentions with Dee? And some of these people's intentions are like, take her to the end and like, we'll dump her off right before Final Tribal. That's another spot that is getting taken up if you're against Dee.
if D doesn't like you, that's kind of bad. D is very charismatic. D is very good at getting what she wants. That was a whole season where she just ran, to be honest. She is the most complete player from this new era. I think we agree with that, except Kyle. Kyle's Achilles was not complete. D's Achilles is complete. So I think it's something where, what is your intentions with D? If you're not wanting to play with her, you got to get her out. Why are you waiting? Because she's going to outmaneuver you. I expect her to get some heat or some thought processes of why are we not voting out D?
Wait, let me speak on D real quick, because I like this comment here from Bobby. D being set up for a big downfall. I feel like that has been the edit for D. The whole Ceree thing of, imagine we don't vote out Ceree and then she blindsides us. And she was saying that to Jonathan. And now D and Tiffany are going to be mad at Jonathan. Yeah, I think D's in a lot of trouble. So I just wanted to throw that comment up, because I agree with you on that. That's why I haven't said D yet. I think she's in a lot of trouble.
So that's my 9. D was my 10. Rick Devins is my 11. I think we have said something already of try not to look. No, did I make? I made this up. I just watched World Apart. Don't be a pair.
What were you going to say with Worlds Apart?
I was going to be like, we can't look like we're in pairs. People are targeting pairs, but that's,
yeah, that's literally Worlds Apart.
That's what Mama C told Tyler or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but if these people watched 30 before they came out to 50, I think pairs are a way to maybe split people up. Is the Christian and Devin's pair obvious to everyone? And I think if it is, that's probably bad for both of them. And so that's why I might as well spoil it. Rick and Christian are my 11 and 12.
Okay.
Of, if I'm not talking to them on the beach, I know they're starting shit. That's who they are. They are the shit starters. They are the stirrers. They are the people who are, wouldn't it be funny if we just did this? Yes, they're not getting all the confessionals that we are, but that's a lot of energy that I would not want around my beach if I'm not part of it. And they can't be a part of it with 10 people. They can only be a part of it with probably 5. And that's not the majority of 14. So I'm expecting Rick and Christian to have some, like, are we going to vote out somebody to get an idol? No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to boomerang to us. We're not going to vote out. No. Who can it boomerang? We're not going to vote out Aubrey to boomerang it to us. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to have access to an idol. They're probably hoping for stuff. Like, also, if there's an auction coming up, it's like, I don't want to be in an auction with Rick or Christian, because I want to have access to some of this stuff. And they've already said their whole thought process is like, Rick is the idol person. And Rick was close to Ceree, but Rick has been getting hit by waves recently of, on the Charlie boot, he wasn't tethered to anybody. He was getting rocked by that vote. And then I think he got a reprieve of having the perfect group to vote out Genevieve. But I would expect, like, Rick, if he had a confessional, to be like, I need to find my way right now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people that we've already mentioned have stronger allies that they're going to care more about than, like, Rick, come, like, I'm working with Ceree, right? It's like, Ceree didn't work with you that one vote, and now she has at least 3 other people she cares about more than you, Rick. Like, I hope you don't go give your whole kit and caboodle to Ceree, because that's not going to work for you.
So I'll knock mine out, because it's the 3 people you just talked about, and your last 2 are going to be more interesting than mine. I have D at 12, Devin's at 13, Christian at the bottom. D, again, is being set up, but I feel like she has more allies in the game and is a better shield than Devin's or Christian. Guardy says the fake idol. I think the fake idol is going to be brought up here. I think that it's going to come into play in this episode, because I think that they're going to need it. And I think they're going to try to pull something. Ultimately, I think Christian's still going to go home over Devin's, because I think Christian is more threatening. But then again, Devin's is probably less connected than Christian. But Devin's not only being less connected than Christian, he's also less of a threat than Christian. Like, Jonathan and Devin's had that moment of talking to each other. Christian has Emily, but everything else has kind of been negative around Christian as of late, at least. Devin's having Aubrey helps. I think these two guys have, especially Christian, have put themselves in a position where everyone knows they're playing the game. Everybody knows they're playing it really, really hard. And they're threats and they're chaotic in the post-merge. They're dangerous in the post-merge. How much post-merge game do you want to see Devin's play? Like, you go to Jonathan. Jonathan's going to play a straightforward game where he might win some immunities. Devin's is, they're all talking about how Devin's is the idle guy on Survivor. I think Devin's, there might be a chance that he's the one who picks up the thing at Tribal Council, which ultimately leads to Christian going home. Christian's edit's been massive. Christian's gone to a Tribal Council in every single episode. Of course, his edit's going to be massive. I think that Christian is in the most danger because I think Ozzy's going to want to vote him out. I think Suri will get on board with it. And I think that other people are just going to be okay with voting Christian out of the game. I don't think he has any tight allies. And I think ultimately voting out Mike White was the beginning of the end for Christian, which is exactly what I said when it happened. I think it was the beginning of the end for him, and I think he's done. Now, Arcadis to say is the Jimmy Fallon thing next step. It's a good point. So maybe he does have to survive because that was something that was brought up. But maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I just feel like Christian's in the worst spot, and I'm doing this based off of how I feel about where they're standing in the game. So I'm going Christian at 14, Devin's at 13, D at 12.
And what can we learn from this? Because maybe there's one of you watching right now that's going to be playing Survivor an All-Star season for your second time. I think All-Star seasons, the early immunities matter more than anybody has ever really thought or put to paper. Because imagine the difference between Christian's game and Aubrey's game. If Aubrey has been to one forced Tribal Council. There's not a way to get past Blood Moon without going to Tribal Council, unless you're Rizzo or Ozzy. But Rizzo and Ozzy did other Tribal Councils. Aubrey went to one Tribal Council in six episodes. Mm-hmm. Our friend Christian has been to six. And there are six heartbreaks. There are six backstabs. There are six. Oh, he made a vote against these people. If he would get rid of Mike White, he'd get rid of all of us. Aubrey didn't have to backstab her best player. Aubrey didn't have to think about 10 years ago what that meant to her. Christian had to do all that. Aubrey doesn't. Those are two kind of comparable players coming into this season of, like, you would expect them to play the same way or have the same kind of threat level, mostly because Aubrey got a cool down season last time she was around. But I think this is insane. Just to think about why they're in such different predicament. It's because Aubrey won a bunch of immunities.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, confessionals here, obviously D and Chrissy are way down 8 and 7. Colby, everybody's like, oh, Colby's getting huge. Colby had 13, Camille had 12. They weren't far off, right? Ozzy's had 42 confessionals, actually more than Christian. Christian's at 40. The next highest is 23, which is actually Rick Devins. I mean, I don't know if I should be reading into that a little bit more or not reading into that a little bit more. I have no idea. But if you remove Ozzy and Christian, 23 being the next highest really isn't that many. It's really not. And Ozzy and Christian have gone to a Tribal Council every week. Ozzy just didn't go to one last week because he went and sat over at Edge or whatever it was. But, you know, he had confessionals about that instead.
So my 13 and 14, my last couple people, I have Coach at 13. And Jonathan at 14.
How dare you?
And this is a group of five. The Honor and Integrity Alliance. Five strong seems one too many to me if I'm on that beach. I can deal with four of y'all. Like, I think it literally will be like a cool down episode. Like, let's shoot at each other. And now vote out an Honor and Integrity. Shoot at each other. And now vote out an Honor and Integrity. But Honor and Integrity being five votes at 14 is too many. Like, so I'm expecting Jonathan to get a lot of heat from D and Tiffany of, like, that's going to matter. Would you rather be on D and Tiffany's side in this argument, or would you rather be on Jonathan's side?
And then it's kind of probably obvious, which you probably don't want to do. Jonathan, you need to win immunity or you're going home. And then what is that final 14 challenge? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this?
Well, he's going to... Is it, he's going to win all those, but if there's a puzzle,
do it for the gross boys. I mean, come on.
If there's a puzzle or something, then probably he'll go home. But I think what kind of, well, why do you have a coach at 13? I think coach is the most threatening out of that group of honor and integrity of, we know his honor and integrity isn't quite true. Like, he will work with us, backstab you two. And I think of all the people that are playing Survivor, they probably don't see coach's antics as very fun and very much like a good thing to play with. I think that is something they would rather eliminate than being like, trying to deal with coach is probably a lot harder than trying to deal with Joe Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sucks because I like coach as a viewer and I want coach to get like top seven at least.
He's going to.
But I think coach will be a target from the honor and integrity of like, why would we vote out Chrissy over him? Why would we vote out Joe over him? Why would we vote Steph over him? But we need to knock down some of these numbers. And like, if Jonathan wins immunity, but we still need to knock out a number, then it's coach is the next one up.
See, I think coach is well connected. I also think that, you know, a lot of people are looking at Tiffany hasn't had a big confessional and this person hasn't a lot of confessional. Coach has the same amount as Jonathan. Coach is not going out of this game with 20 confessionals in 7 episodes. It's not happening. His edit begins this week. It begins because he's finally going to start going to tribals and actually have a say in what's going on. I think that he's in a good spot. Jonathan, I could see going home. The Jonathan versus D thing, maybe I should have put D at the bottom because maybe that is what the storyline is going to be. But I just feel like Christian and Devins are bigger threats. And that might sound crazy. It's like D won the game. Yeah, but D is going to play straightforward. Christian and Devins aren't. They just aren't. And I think that D has a couple more allies. But no, I think coach is fine, man. I really do. I think you're, you know.
And maybe I'm using my Blake, the world wants to have egg in Blake's face. I'm using it for good to make sure coach makes it through this episode.
There you go. I mean, I hope you're right. You put Suri at 1. You might have just doomed her though.
No!
Because of the Blake, yeah, with egg on the face.
Suri!
Anyway, all right. Well, so this is my last podcast of the week. Or not of the week. I mean, it's Sunday. I got plenty. This is the last one of this episode. Whatever. Tomorrow, Tegwith is live with Gabby Pascuzzi for Matt Chat. On Tuesday, I'll be live late at night with Peridium. I'm going to do the questions. I'm going to try to do the questions now for anybody playing in the predictions game, and we'll just wing it. And then on Wednesday, recap. On Thursday, I think it's Thursday, we have Mikey B, right? Watertown Whiskey Mikey B from Survivor Fans versus Favorites. That's our episode.
Let's go.
I know. He's been watching and he wants the podcast and he wants to talk about his Watertown whiskey too. So that's what's going on. So that's this week. So thank you all so much for listening. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you later. Blake, good job
Happy
jumping in.
Happy Easter.
Hoppy Easter, Blake. Hoppy.
Oh my God.